Hello and welcome to Guitar Stands for Goalposts. My name is Alex Irons, and joining me via Skype, because it's 2020 and that's what everyone is doing nowadays, he's the current vocalist of John Brown's Flux Conduct and former vocalist of Forever Never. It is, of course, Rennie Carroll. Mate, how are you doing?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm not too bad, thank you. I'm starting to get used to podcasting from home and doing it via Zoom, and it's different to doing it face to face. I prefer that still.
That face to face is great, but you know, because I'm lazy as hell, that appeals to me a lot. Just doing stuff from home is great. I mean, I don't have to trek into London to speak. Great, that's good. That's good for my from my chair at home.
It's like being passed around that, like a ball at school, being like, if you hold the ball, only you're allowed to speak. If you're exactly, in London, yeah, you're only allowed to speak. Although it's a bit weird, because my view at the moment, sitting at my desk, looking at the screen, it just says your name in big bold letters.
That's quite weird
looking at that instead of like looking at someone's face.
Well, like I said, I could have had the picture up, but you weren't willing to have yours up, so it'd just be creepy. Otherwise,
your background is a lot nicer than mine. So I was like, right, let's not show the world my Fulham curtains, which have been up for more than 10 years.
Oh dear.
Yes, exactly. But we are talking about football on this podcast. Who would you say is? What team do you support?
Well, you should say it like that, because depending on how things are
who
going.
Who would you say, as I stroke my beard, kind of thinking, what team would you support?
And I am. I'm officially an Arsenal fan, and that's purely because when I was about five, my best friend at school, he supported Arsenal, and I just copied him. That's it. That's literally it.
So you just copied your friend and be like, yeah, I'm too lazy to pick my own team. So
I didn't even like football at the time. I don't think from that moment, I don't think I ever actually watched a whole match on the telly till I was probably like 9 or 10, like years later.
So you just said when you supported Arsenal because your mate did. Oh, yeah. It's like, who's your favourite player?
Don't know. But
one that kicks the ball. Yeah, like that guy.
Well, I know I was collecting stickers from about 8, because I remember doing, you know, swapsies at school. So I think maybe when I was about eight, I started getting into who the players were and watching the games. But I can remember being around my mate's house when I was about 6, and he was a West Ham fan. Maybe that's why I found it boring. But they were playing, and he had them on the telly. And, at 6 or 7, I just wanted to play the Nintendo or like, I don't know, or actually play football. I think I've always, I'd much rather have been out in the garden kicking a ball around than actually sitting there for 90 minutes and watching a game. So anyway,
either that or playing Arsenal football on the Nintendo,
or that. Yeah. So yeah, I think my best mate from junior school is the one that's responsible for, infants even. Yeah. For responsible for my supporting Arsenal.
And have you thanked him since, or have you been like, mate, this is hell because of you?
No, I can't complain, can I really? Like 30 years worth, I guess, of like supporting them, and most of it, first half got better and better, I suppose. It sort of peaked in the middle somewhere, and then it's just petered off. It's just petered off a bit slowly now, hasn't it, really? For Arsenal.
You've won the FA Cup twice in the past 10 years. That's more than there for most teams.
That's still fun, isn't it? they've had a lot of transitioning going on, and you know, the new stadium basically just killed it off, didn't it, really, a lot of it, which is a shame, because obviously that was the whole point of the new stadium, was to go on to bigger and better things. But it also put them in a lot of debt, which they've since paid off, which is great. But obviously the owners don't really seem to flaunt this extra money that they supposedly got and stuff. No. But I'm also a season ticket holder at Billericay Town, which is where I live. So,
nice. So you've been watching Jamie O'Hara's men down at the bottom of the table.
This season's been rubbish this season. Although, I mean, the season's been declared null and void, isn't it, in the non-league? So they're going to...
I think they're still deciding whether the top three divisions, or North and South and the Vanarama National Division, are still to be decided. But
right. I think as far as everything is concerned, though...
As far as Billericay is concerned, if it gets null and voided, I think it's more of a relief than anything else.
Yeah, probably. It is. I mean, they had about four games in hand as well when it stopped. Mm. But it was inevitably going to get more difficult for them because Glenn Tampion, he was the chairman and had all the money. He buggered off. So,
well, isn't he now chairman of Romford now?
Romford. Yeah, he's gone. He's done exactly the same thing. Gone there and like signed about 15 players, and yeah, I think he's got good intentions and things like that. He's obviously played too much Football Manager in his life.
At this point during the quarantine, haven't we all?
Yeah, but we'd all love to have done that, you know. I mean, the amount of times I've done that, taking Billericay Town up to like Premier League and got him in Champions League, stuff like that, stupid. But like, he's actually was going to do it for real. I'm grateful for it.
Came along.
Yeah, well, he didn't get bored. In the end, he said that the reason he left was because his son was 16 and he started playing him a lot. I didn't actually think his son was that bad. I thought he was quite good whenever he was coming on as a sub quite a few times. And I thought he was pretty decent, actually. But Glenn loves his Twitter and he loves his social media too much. And he listens to what people say on there too much. So, and I think a few people, probably the minority, but a few people were like, oh, your son's only in the team because you're the fucking, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he said, no, you can abuse me as much as you like, but if you abuse my son or my family, then I'm off. So that's the official reason that he gave, I think, why he upped and left. But what he always did say, and, you know, I've got to believe it because it seems to be the case. He said when he did, if he did ever leave, he'd leave it in a good place, you know, not in loads of debt and things like that. And that appears to have been true.
Mm-hmm.
He sold it on to a local consortium of local businessmen. I think they're all people that used to come to Billericay quite a lot. So they're kind of fans and that. They want what's best for the team. But it's just meant that a few players have had to move on where they were getting good money. They've moved on to some other clubs.
To Romford,
so yeah, several. Yeah, there are a few.
Because you have the likes of Paul Konchesky. Obviously, Jamie O'Hara's there because he's now manager.
Yeah.
Who else? I can't remember. You had like loads of like premiership names.
Jermaine Pennant was down there for a few months. I think he played about 15 games. He only scored once. Lovely free kick he scored. But like, he it's not always the, you know, you can tell that they're what level they're at because they are really good. Like Konchesky, I thought he's the best one of all the sort of the bigger names that played over there. Because you could just, even at 37 or 38, I think he was, whatever, he just had such good vision. He was too good for that level. It was obvious. Yeah. But like, and he's captain, and yeah, it really good. And then, Jermaine Pennant. Jamie O'Hara was starting to play really, really well, and then he got injured at one point, or was it? I don't know, he got suspended because he pushed a kid.
He pushed a kid.
I think that's what happened, yeah. There was a way at Leatherhead, and it got a bit heated. Oh, well, I didn't go. It's just what I heard afterwards.
Yeah.
Billericay lost 3-2. And I think at the time it was they were both in the playoffs. It was like, you know, really close fought match. And,
is this when Jimmy Bullard was managing Leatherhead? Or was this afterwards?
There you go. That's right. That's right. It was. And apparently the fans were quite abusive. I mean, at non-league level, though, they are.
You guys are in the same division as Millstone. I support my local team who are in the division below you.
which is
so they're in the they used to be in the Ithmian and they're now in the Southern Premier. It's Harrow.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I, whenever I get the chance, I go and see them. And yeah, fans see, could be a bit loud and maybe a bit obnoxious at times. Not abusive, horrible. But yeah.
The goalies get it for an entire half. Like, oh, and quite often we change ends at half time, so actually they get it for two halves most of the time.
I was going to say, everyone seems to stand on the sideline, so everyone gets it, not just the goalkeepers.
Mm.
Especially their our own management, which is a bit of a shame. But no, well.
Because I always wonder, like, obviously, in a Premier League game when you've got like 30,000 and upwards, whatever, can you still hear someone saying, "Goalie, you tosser"? I mean, can you still hear that, or is it just like a massive noise from behind you? I'm pretty sure.
I mean, you'd probably still be able to hear it, but you just hear like a lot of people saying it, not just one or two people directing it your way.
Yeah, see, non-league, it is as much as like someone pretty much walking up to your face and going, "You fucking knob."
It'll be like some like bald Brexit voting.
Oh, they're all, they're always
massive like. It's what Pokemon Red and Blue would have called a cue ball, and his little 12-year-old son would have plodding along with him, just hurling abuse at this poor goalkeeper.
I dragged my girlfriend along to an FA Cup game last season. Yeah, because we haven't had any matches for ages. It feels like it could have even been the season before, actually. I don't know. But anyway, it was away at Leatherhead, funnily enough. And it was a 1-1 draw, but we got stuck in the first half in front of this guy behind us who, well, I mean, clearly he was hammered or whatever. But all he said for the whole half was, "Goalie, you are so fucking ugly. You look like my asshole." And he didn't even really mix it up. That was the phrase that he repeated again. And I say repeated, shouted again and again and again. And
isn't my girlfriend was like, is?
"Yeah." My girlfriend was like, "Is this what it's always like?" I'm like, "Well, I mean, usually they usually mix up the insults a little bit. I mean, but he's quite repetitive." And then second half when we come out, it was like, "Just make sure we're not standing in front of this knobhead," I'd like just shouting it the entire half. But I like Billericay for me. Is the club's 20-minute walk away, especially on a day like today when it's nice and sunny. I would love to have like a little walk down there with Billericay. It's just nice to be able to walk down there, have a couple of pints. It costs you no more than like a tenner to go, especially as I've got my season ticket start of season. Going to watch Arsenal. I think I've only ever been about 10 times.
Mm.
It just feels like. I don't like when people think that makes you less of a fan because you don't get to go and watch.
Yeah, but,
it's just that actually everything else about it doesn't appeal to me. Like, I hate getting on the train to go down there. I kind of don't really like being surrounded by proper lads on the train and, you know, all of that. And then the match part of it, I enjoy. And then all the other stuff, like the overpriced drinks, the overpriced food, it ends up costing you £200, and if you don't even win, I just think I wish I hadn't bothered.
Yeah, I'm the same as like a Fulham fan, being like, getting up there, it takes about an hour on the train, and then you've got like, to be fair, if it's a nice day and you get to walk along the river, that's fine. But then you get there, both ends of the ground, I'm quite short-sighted, so if I haven't got my glasses on, I can't see anything that's happening. So if
can you
I'm,
always
even
get
if
a
I'm
ticket
right
for
front,
Alex?
Say again, sorry?
Can you always get a ticket if you want to go?
Yeah, even in the Premier League, apart from like Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool,
the
whoever.
Big, the really big games,
the big
yeah.
ones, it was quite hard. But if you're playing like, I think I went to see them play Leicester. It was the only game I went to see during them in the Premier League last season.
Yeah.
And even then, I was in the Putney end and I had to have my glasses with me, otherwise I couldn't see. And yet if I want to sit on the sideline, but not at the front, because then if it's raining, I get wet. I've got to sit in these horrible wooden seats because it's a grade 2 listed stand and they won't change anything in the old part of the stand. Oh. So I'm sitting in something that's narrower than my arse. And it's incredibly uncomfortable. just a plank of wood that's been there for about 130 years.
That sounds worse than what Billericay have got.
I mean, it probably isn't that far away, actually. Billericay isn't that bad. We've established that you support Arsenal and Billericay.
Yep.
Although we're not sure who you support more at this moment in time. But what would you say is your favourite moment from your team? And I'm going to let you choose one from both.
Okay. Well, Billericay, because it's more recent, I suppose. They did the treble a couple of seasons ago. That was pretty amazing. But in terms of an actual moment, is that what you're talking about, an actual moment that I sort of remember? Because Billericay went through this stage a couple of seasons ago where they just seemed to keep scoring overhead kicks, right?
Oh, really?
And and there was one game we ended up losing, right? But this is why it was so funny. I was already had about three or four pints, and Billericay were, I think they were 2-1 down, and ball came in. You can check this goal out on YouTube. It's on there, and it's a fucking great goal. And this is before Jamie O'Hara was manager. He scores an overhead kick, and I think it was quite proper late in the game anyway. And I had half a pint in my hand, and all I remember is this overhead kick going in and just lobbing my beer up in the sky and going absolutely mental. And the whole, you know, end of the ground where we was all going nuts. Game carries on, and 5 minutes later, they score, the other team. And me and my mate that I was with were like, oh, fuck, you know, we've lost 3-2. Yeah. On the walk home, we then discovered that we didn't lose 3-2. We lost 4-2. And whilst we was all like going mental and like mental over this overhead kick, apparently from the kickoff, they went straight up the other end and scored. So we were still like buzzing about this overhead kick, and we'd already gone a goal down.
Well, that's fantastic.
And, we, so when we were walking out, we went, yeah, it was 4-2, not 3-2. And so that was like absolute elation for this goal. It's so much elation that we didn't even know that we weren't even winning anymore. So
never mind. Pints flying in the air, and then 30 seconds later, you got the other end of your pint still up in the air.
Yeah, yeah. So, but no, yeah, that was like a... I can still remember the buzz of that. You can't really beat a last minute winner anyway. Like, there's been a few of those as well where everyone's just gone absolutely tits because last minute goal. Oh, another one for Billericay. We the Essex Senior Cup final was at Colchester United's ground, and they beat Chelmsford, who's like, you know,
local rivals,
big rivals. So we beat them 2-1. And that was really, I mean, that was a cup final, so what you want. It was a cup final and they won. So, yeah, one of those for Billericay, I'd say. For Arsenal, it is really hard to look past the Invincible season, really, if we're talking. But, again, if you're talking about an actual moment, that's not really a moment as such. It's just like that whole season.
I mean, you could say, if you want to put the Invincible season down, you can.
Yeah, I can't. It was just such an amazing season with the players that they had, and I can't remember another time when I just thought we'd beat everyone. Mm. Like even other seasons where we have won the league, still get, you know, you still play a Man United or you play a Liverpool or Chelsea or whatever, and you think, oh, I'm not sure about this. But in that season, I just remember thinking, yeah, we'll beat them. Yeah, we'll beat them. And then it just went on and on and on. And when you get to like the last 10 games, you still haven't lost. You're like, wow, this is pretty weird.
So didn't you draw quite a lot of them?
Yeah, I think they drew like 9, didn't they? Or 10 games 11? Or something. Oh, yeah, there you go, or 11. But a lot of draws. So, you know, all of them draws could have gone one way or the other. They could have ended up with another wins, or they could have lost them. But they didn't. And Liverpool this season, as amazing as they are, and I thought they could do it, actually. I did. As amazing as they are, they still went out and lost 3-0 to Watford. So it shows you how hard it is, because the teams in the Premier League are all of such a good standard that anyone can pull that out of the bag on a day. If you're slightly off, you know, you can lose 3-0 to Watford. But Arsenal managed to do it for the...
It's a Watford.
Yeah, no disrespect to Watford. But like, yeah, Arsenal managed to do it for that whole season.
Just having a look at the table now in front of me, you won 26, drew 12.
Oh, there you go.
Lost none. Well, at Chelsea, had only won two games less. They won 24, but no one ever talks about.
Well, even this season, Arsenal have drawn. I don't know if to say past tense or present tense, drew or draw, because the season is it over. It's pretty. Who knows? So many draws. At one point, we was only behind Liverpool and Man City on losses, and only behind someone right that I can't remember who, but like someone right down the bottom, but on wins, because we'd drawn so many games. Like,
hang on, you drew the same amount of games as Wolves, who finished last.
There you go.
You also drew the same amount of games as Everton, who finished above the who finished in 17th.
There you go.
It's also the season that Leeds got relegated. Weirdly enough, all the teams who got relegated finished on the same amount of points. And moving into the future, the top half of the top 10 teams are no longer in the... Well, okay, no. Four of the top 10 are no longer in the Premier League. I was going to count Aston Villa in that, but they got promoted, didn't they?
Well, they've been back and forwards, didn't they? So
Charlton, Bolton, Firm and Birmingham City, who will finish in the top half, are either in League One or the Championship.
Wow.
And Man City finished 16th that year. Oh, how times have changed.
Wow, did they really?
Yeah. They finished below Blackburn. Everton were 17th. They finished below Tottenham, who are 14th.
Was that after they'd already been down to League... Did they go all the way down to League 2? Or just
they
League
went down to Division 3 and then came back up again.
My God. Yeah.
It was also the year that Millwall got to the FA Cup final and qualified for the UEFA Cup.
Nice away day for whoever that was.
I think they played I think it might have played Fenerbahce.
Oh my God.
So it's just whichever way you'd gone, it would have been just a complete piss up.
Oh, punch up.
Well, that as well. I didn't want to be horrible to our Millwall listeners.
Absolutely horrific places to go. Millwall and Fenerbahce. No, no thank you. I will always watch that one on telly. No worries.
Sorry, it wasn't Fenerbahce. It was Hungarian champions, and I'm going to butcher this name, Ferencváros. Ferencváros.
Yeah.
They lost 4-2 in aggregate, but Dennis Wise scored both of their goals.
He's a good player.
What he was doing at Millwall, I have no idea.
He loves it.
Yeah, he's that kind of old... He was at Wimbledon, wasn't he? So,
yeah.
Chelsea, just look at Millwall.
Chelsea, Millwall, Wimbledon. That if that's someone's like record, that tells you all you need to know about someone, I reckon.
Yeah, fair point.
Don't piss on their chips.
Yeah, exactly. Who is the most London player, Dennis Wise?
He's got to be up there.
Make a note of the date. May the 15th, 2004. History has been made. One of the greatest achievements since English football began. Arsenal have gone through an entire league campaign without losing. The first time it's happened for over 100 years. Played 38, won 26, drawn 12, lost exactly none.
Who would you say is your favourite player for the wrong reasons?
For the wrong reasons.
The wrong reasons. So like a player you love to hate, like your pantomime villain.
Right, I get you. Yeah, so I'm like, who do I find? I've got to say, and this is probably biased, at the moment, I used to think David Luiz was a knob when he was at Chelsea, but now he's at Arsenal. I think he's quite funny.
But that's, well, that, you say that's that, but
typical,
that's
just, isn't it?
Your defence is a pretty funny at the moment, to be fair.
Oh, they're all hilarious. Eboué used to make me laugh when he used to play because he was just a ridiculous player as well.
Didn't have Eboué and Adebayor at the same time.
No, yeah. Again, total dickhead, Adebayor. Like, he's just that 150-yard run of knee slide.
Oh, yeah. When Man City.
Wow. Yeah. That definitely puts you in the upper echelons of dickhead. but hey, banter.
Yeah, exactly. Troll the fans for the lads.
Yeah. No, yeah, so I don't know, someone like I think at the moment someone like David Luiz makes me laugh because he's a bit of a dickhead. And when he was at, it is typical though, you have a lot of opinions on players when they're at somewhere else, and then eventually they end up at your team and you're like, oh, actually, I don't mind anymore.
Yeah, he's all right.
I don't like him in the team very much though. He's too much of a liability for me. Definitely.
I kind of feel the same way when one player that I was like, yeah, he's not that bad, and then he came to Fulham and I was like, no, this guy is awful, is Philippe Senderos.
Oh, yeah. I can relate on that.
God, I was like, hey, he's not that bad, and then he came to Fulham. I was like, no, this guy is awful. Like, I've never seen a worse player at Fulham. Okay, that's a lie.
He's got errors in him. So many errors in him.
But then he can come up with just magic. Like, he'll like end up doing. He'll be awful all season, and then he'll just like pull a bicycle kick out of nowhere and score a winning goal, and it just erases everything. And you go, this guy's amazing.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I never saw that Arsenal.
I mean, I think he scored like once for us against Crystal Palace, and then that was it. It was that game that Kasami scored that worldie.
Oh, I still remember that. Amazing. Amazing goal. I remember that. That was weekend. I think there was loads of really good goals, I seem to remember, all that season.
And then Kasami went and did that, and we were just like, where has this been? This guy has done nothing all season. He did nothing for the rest of the season. He just goes and does that. It's like, what? This is madness.
It's a shame. It's a shame because if he did do that every week, you'd probably win every week.
I mean, yes.
If you can score a volley from 30 yards every week, you can score a
volley from 30 yards if Steve Sidwell can score volley after volley every week, then I think we would have done all right.
Yeah. Who is your player, by the way, for that, one?
It probably would be Senderos, actually, to be fair.
For all the wrong reasons.
For all the wrong reasons, because he's like one of those players that you know he's terrible, but you can't not love him.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say, he has a bad game and you like want to go and give him a hug.
Bentner is a hilarious one as well. I mean, shit, so bad. Terrible player.
Didn't he win the league with Inter? With Nicholas and Elka? I think he did.
Nicholas Bentner?
Yeah, I think he won it with Elka and they'd only played like 9 games between them.
My God. Yeah, see, now you have to admire his like optimism and his enthusiasm, but he was just rubbish. And he made some classic quotes, didn't he? Like about being world class and things like that. You're like, no, come on, mate.
So I retract my statement. He won the league with Juventus in the 2012-2013 season, playing only 9 games, scoring no goals.
Yep. Well, that stat's not surprising. Scoring no goals, he didn't really. Oh, yeah.
He scored 24 goals in his 108 appearances at Arsenal.
24.
And since then, he's only scored. Hang on, let me do quick maths. 11, 19, 22, 25. He's only scored 49 goals since leaving Arsenal at the end of 2014.
And he is actually a forward. Yeah, it doesn't know.
And he scored 30 goals for Denmark. So he scored in his career less than 100 goals. God.
Well, but I mean, still making bear pee because he's a footballer, obviously.
Oh yeah, we.
I mean, that, so you can have an absolutely shocking career as a footballer and still be absolutely minted.
So, yeah.
He doesn't care, does he? Let's be honest.
No, it's like I haven't won anything, but look at all this money I've got. Like, who's the real winner here?
He's got an actual league winner's medal at Juventus, and he did nothing.
And he played 9 games and scored no goals.
Crazy, isn't it?
I think you've got to play 5 times to win a medal in Italy, I think.
Wow. And that is at appearances as well, I suppose. You can come on as a sub 5 times and get one.
I think it might be first team starts.
I'm not entirely sure.
So he started 9 times and got a medal. It's like, here you go. It's like people complain about kids just getting medals for turning up. That's essentially all they've done with Bentner.
Crazy. Absolutely bonkers. Yep. One of those,
So that's Nicholas Bentner down as your favourite player for the wrong
reason. I think, yeah, probably, yeah.
The international from Denmark, Nicholas Bentner, comes on for the corner. Bentner! What an arrival for him. Arsenal lead again. A super substitution from Arsene Wenger. The first Premier League goal for Nicholas Bentner. It's 2-1 to the Gunners.
So what would you say, and this could be in any sport, doesn't have to be football, doesn't have to be team related. What would you say is your favourite sporting moment in general?
I was really, I mean, our recent England World Cup run was pretty amazing. And that penalty win was pretty good.
I remember against Colombia.
Yeah, really, really. Because you obviously fear the worst with England whenever we get into any kind of penalty scenario. But to actually come out and win it was phenomenal. So
I was working in a pub over that World Cup over that summer, and we had a massive. We were the only garden in the high street or in the area to have a proper beer garden, and we had like a truck that would come into the garden with a massive screen on the back.
And wicked.
We'd fill out the pub before kickoff, like 2 hours beforehand, we'd be stacked. And I remember everyone just being so. England had gone in front and everyone's going nuts. Colombia get that 90th minute equaliser and everyone's going, oh no, it's going to extra time, we're going to lose. Everyone just looks so depressed. Goes to penalties and everyone's like, oh no, we never win on penalties. This is it. We're going out here. And there's a video that my manager took at the time of everyone, like, I think, who scored the last goal? Was it Dyer?
It was a shocking penalty. It shouldn't have gone in. Yeah, it was Dyer, yeah.
And there's a video of like everyone in the garden watching that goal, and as the ball goes in, pints go up in the air. Like just a whole pub garden's worth of pints just go straight up into the air. Everyone's going absolutely mental. Pub benches are broken. Everyone is just absolutely just going all over the place. Limbs are everywhere. I think, and then we were like rammed for the rest of the night because everyone just wanted to like, we've actually won a penalty. Let's go and get hammered.
I know that a lot of it was born out of obviously just being drunk and joy and stuff like that. But why do Brits get happy and smash things up?
I don't know.
I genuinely was a bit fearful of us getting into the final. Because I did think, like, you know, people were going absolutely mental about getting through a qualifier, whatever. And I thought, I wanted us to get to a cup final. I mean, imagine if we'd have beaten Croatia and got to a World Cup final.
If only Kane had squared it to Sterling.
Oh, no. There's a few moments, don't there, that could have changed that. But I did think, part of me did think, maybe that was for the best that we didn't, because I just think the planet, the country would have gone so nuts. I was genuinely a bit scared about what would have happened in high streets all around the country, like things getting smashed up and it would have made the London riots look like I don't know, a Mad Hatter's Tea Party or something.
Exactly. I was, to be fair, at that time, looking back on it, I was like, you know, we had a good run. Seeing England get to a semi-final, which is something I've never seen happen because I was born after the 1990 World Cup.
Just reminded me, Alex, that I watched that World Cup, so that puts me at about 7 years old in 1990. So that's going right back to what we were talking about at the beginning. I must have been into football around that time because I watched the World Cup and I remember crying my eyes out as a seven-year-old when we lost to Germany on penalties. So, yeah, there you go. It's just reminded me. Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, the first World Cup I remember is 98, so I'm a fair bit behind you, I think. And we only got to the quarterfinals? We got knocked out by Argentina?
Yeah. Yeah. That was a travesty as well, because that, again, remembering that game, we were just as good as them. Could easily have got through. But, yeah. Beckham, wasn't it?
Yeah, Beckham lashed out, got kicked at Simeone.
Red card.
Got sent off. And the rest is history.
It was so pointless as well.
It wasn't even a red card.
No, but the ref probably he did it on purpose. He kicked him. But it was so petulant. It was pointless him doing it, and it was pointless the ref sending him off. But just imagine Beckham doesn't do that with his leg instead, and the game just carries on.
I reckon if he didn't do that, he wouldn't be anywhere near as famous as he is now.
No, it was infamous, wasn't he, after that?
Yeah.
Literally, I agree with that. Yeah. Become a massive, icon almost after that.
Well, he became
that reason.
Well, he became infamous because of it and then redeemed himself with that free kick against Greece.
Yes. Now, that's a moment as well. Talking about a moment, I do remember watching that and going absolutely mental when that goes in as well. Because it was literally down to that to qualify, wasn't it? That was literally going down to that kick to qualify last minute.
I think we had to draw at least to get a win, to qualify even. And then otherwise we would have had to have faced, I think, Scotland in a playoff or something.
I would have won that easy.
I don't know, it's Scotland of early 2000s. Anything could happen.
I'm only saying that to anyone Scottish listening up. But I think in recent times the whole World Cup vibe was pretty special actually, because we had such a good World Cup and it was nice to see our national team actually doing well, playing some decent football.
It'd be weird when the 2022 World Cup rolls around and everything is going to be during the winter.
Yeah, that is going to be strange, but you know, it's only going to be a one-off, so it'll be one of those ones that we remember for a long time. You know, you tell your families and stuff, oh, I remember we had the World Cup in the winter 1 year, and I'm like, all right. Everyone
stood out in the beer garden in the freezing cold.
Yeah, that's going to be weird, because that's obviously not going to be that appealing to most people.
No, everyone's going to World Cup from home. Nah, I'm not digging that.
And the times that they're going to be, that Qatar's like 4 hours ahead of us, I think.
Yeah, so it'll be like during the afternoon.
Yeah, it's not so bad. But yeah.
Sorry, let's go to Qatar.
Go on.
So, favourite sporting moment, which World Cup are we picking? Or all England World Cups?
I know, I'm going to say the most recent one. Yeah, I think
2018.
So. Yeah.
I'm going to say, actually, I was working, like I said, I was working in a pub at the time. And when England got knocked out by Croatia, part of me was like sad that England lost, but the majority of me was happy that I got to finish early and close up early.
Yeah. I think in my lifetime anyway, I've never been so buzzed about the England team as that World Cup. So it does. And like, you know, having Arsenal do well is one thing, but it is strange because obviously it does bring everyone together, the national team. And it was nice to experience what that could feel like in the event of us doing really well as a national team, where everyone's sort of, you know, cheering the same players along. And
yeah,
it felt really nice. I mean, obviously, there's always a few dickheads that ruin it, you know, and you see the videos online after.
Yeah,
you
just of course.
Think, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, do other countries do that when they win a game at the World Cup? I don't think so. You know, just excuse me. But like the Yeah, I don't think they do. It's so British. It's so British.
Oh, I wouldn't even say it's British. It's English. No other.
Yeah,
British,
no, you're right. You're right. It is. Sorry, I apologize to the Welsh and the Scottish and Irish there. Man. That's it probably is the English more so. Just absolute idiots. But minority. But in general, there was such a good vibe around that month. And you speak to everyone and be like, oh, we're doing all right, aren't we? Like, you know, Arsenal fans and Tottenham fans in harmony. What? Who'd have thought, you know? Weird.
Yeah, Arsenal fans cheering on Kane. Who would have thought?
But mate, Arsenal fans happened. Mainly cheering on Tottenham players. There was, I think there was hardly any Arsenal in there, was there at all? But
was Rams? No, Ramsey's Welsh. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
Wilshere would have been at West Ham by then.
No, I've got a feeling there was no Arsenal players in there at all. So
no, I don't think there would have been. Most of them are all French anyway, even now. Yeah. So, basically, if anything, you should have been cheering on France.
Exactly. But yeah, no, I think I will choose that as my sporting moment, as in just the most recent World Cup was pretty special. It was because you know, the next one we may not even get to a semi-final next time. You know,
Eric Dier places the ball on the spot, and England win on penalties. History in itself for this new team, new territory. The last eight of the World Cup, and who knows where beyond there.
What would you say is your favourite worst kit?
My favourite worst kit?
A lot of people tend to pick kits from the 90s, but if there's one before then or after then that you're not a fan of.
Oh, man. You're right. 90s, there were definitely some horrific ones. Let's think. Thankfully, I don't think Arsenal have had too many horrific ones, actually, thinking about the ones that we had.
Any terrible Billericay kits from the 90s that you remember? Or
my first one, Billericay have always had fairly bland blue kits. They've not really gone sort of anything too crazy.
It's kind of just like a plain blue, really, isn't it?
Yeah, plain blue, pretty much. Did Norwich have some pretty, like, the old yellow and green one that they had, like someone had been sick on it? Like,
I think I know.
Feel like if you're going to look into it for long enough, it will turn into like a magic eye painting, you know, and something will pop out of it.
It's like Scream or one of those weird like Facebook pictures where it's like, look at this with your eyes closed and now open your eye again. And then it's like something weird happens.
Yeah, you've still got like dots on your retina. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you're permanently blind. Oh, I see. Okay, the 1992 kit, you mean?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Like, that sounds
like
about right.
Yellow with like just shades of green everywhere.
Yeah.
That 92. Looks disgusting. Someone has called it on their blog the Norwich City bird poo kits, which I think sums it up nicely.
It's up there for sure.
Yeah, that's not good. It looks like they brought it back for 1 year, or at least the away kit. Anyway, I'm not a fan of that.
No.
There was
some pretty crazy goalkeeper tops as well in the 90s, wasn't there? There was like, I think the aim of goalie shirts were just to make the opposition sick. Yeah. some really bad goalie tops.
I think I had one. I think I had like the early England, the 96 England kit at one point, which is the one that Seaman had. It was like red with like confetti everywhere.
Yeah, you've said it and I can literally visualise it in my head. Yeah, that was horrendous.
I think either I had it or my brother had it. And at the time you kind of go, yeah, it's really nice. But then looking back, we were just like, we must have looked like idiots.
Just think if you are Dave Seaman, right, and you know you're going to be the England goalie and the kit's been made, you're like, oh, do I have to wear that? I don't really want to.
Could I just wear a normal colour?
Yeah, can you not make me another one? Because it's really gross. Like, but he had some good games in that kit, though.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of look at the 90s and just be like, why did we live in this time with awful fashion sense?
Yeah.
We kind of went through the 80s being like, eh, disco was all right, but the dress sense was terrible. Let's just make that mainstream.
You know, it all comes back around though, because like 80s fashion and stuff like that is cool now. It yeah. probably means that when we're like deeper into the 20s, the late 20s, early 30s, they'll the 90s fashion will probably come back around again. That'll be cool.
Yeah. So, well, in that case, I'm saving my England Euro 96 kit for a couple of years. I bought the grey one for the World Cup 2 years ago. And I was like, yeah, I'll wear this at work. I'll get an extra large, it'll fit fine. And it's the tightest thing I've ever worn. Yeah, like, this is not made for a person of my size, even though it says it is.
It happens, mate. I mean, none of my old kits work for me anymore, so.
No, I bought loads of Fulham shirts don't fit me anymore. Harrow shirts don't fit me anymore. So like, I would hand them down, but it's like, I don't want to let them go. So I go to the gym and I'll wear these again and just isn't going to happen.
Back into them again.
I just need to start going to the gym again once they reopen up after the coronavirus finishes.
I didn't realise I could get any lazier. Like, I thought I was already a proper lazy fat blob. And then the lockdown happened. I was like, no, I actually can get more lazy. Like, people saying they want to go out for their walks and that. I'm like, I'm all right, can't be bothered.
That's what I have to. That means going out. That means breathing fresh air.
Yeah, I mean, I did. The sad part is, just before everything happened, I was getting into a routine of going to the gym. I had personal training once a week because that forces me to go, right? So I started doing that. And I'd done about 6 sessions, you know, 6 weeks of it, and then either side of it I'd have a swim one day and then another gym session the other day. And I was getting into it a little bit. I still hate almost every second of it and I begrudge it, but it's a gym membership which I pay for monthly, so I have to get, you know. And I was getting into a bit of a routine, but then what I found out about myself, obviously, actually I didn't find out, I knew it already, it's just that I'm lazy as fuck. So as soon as the lockdown happened, I was like, oh well, that's a shame. I can't do any workouts anymore, obviously. Can't really go for a run because, you know, got a bad back, so can't do that. So now I just, you know, complete blob, basically.
I was going to say, you could get like a cycling machine and then you can just watch TV and exercise at the same time.
Well, I did actually put an exercise bike together the other day. And again, that was another thing. I'm really shit at DIY, but I put this exercise bike together. Felt pretty proud of myself. My girlfriend got on it. She was like, "I don't like it." I was like, "Well, I'm not taking it apart. You've told me to tear all that. You've told me to tear the box up and everything." She's like, "It's too small." I'm like, "How is it too small?" Anyway, I've not had a go on it yet, but apparently it's too small. So
I just like lift the seat up.
Well, I did. Obviously, I suggested all of that, but we'll see. I've got to actually have a go on it to find out, and that's the bit I'm a bit like, oh god. Well, I actually have to have a go on this bike.
If you have the energy to get on it, let us know, or let me know how that goes. But before we say goodbye, you have started a new project called Hardball FC, which is a mix of hardcore and football, which is perfect for this podcast. So would you like to give us a bit more information on what it's all about?
Yeah, so I've had this idea for years as like a bit of a comedy metal project. I've invented a new genre. It's called footcore.
Footcore, so I don't know, what did I say? Hard foot?
Yeah, the band is called Hardball.
I did get it right. Okay, my brain is going, where am I again? What day is it? So, I can't remember.
It's okay. It's just, you know, in the most simple of terms, I've taken the word hardcore and football and I've just mashed them together on both sides. So it's hardball footcore. So I've had this idea for ages. The track that I've just put up is called FIFA, which stands for football is fucking awesome.
Let's use that as their actual name. It's like, yeah, we're keeping the name of FIFA, but this is what it actually stands for.
Maybe I should start tweeting them about it. So yeah, it's a tongue in cheek, obviously, totally jokes, hardcore metal thing. There's a lyric video up on YouTube. You just got to search up Hardball FC and FIFA and then have a little bit of a giggle. I'm hoping to do some more with it in the future. And I'm hoping to get some, you know, some musical friends involved on some maybe future some, songs. So it'd be a bit, quite a collaborative thing. Just for a bit of fun, really.
Some footballers involved.
If that's possible, that would be great as well. But see, I think one thing at a time, really.
Say, bring back old football songs that clubs used to bring out when they get to the FA Cup final. But maybe don't bring that because they're always dreadful.
Well, the only other song title I've definitely got in mind is Centre Circle Pit because it just works. I mean, it just writes itself, really, isn't it? So, like, yeah.
I've got one.
Centre Circle Pit.
Go on. One that's just coming. Free Kick Wall of Death.
Free Kick Wall of Death is good. I mean, you wouldn't even need that. Just Wall of Death, actually.
Yeah.
And then I've got one for death penalties as well. Sudden death penalties.
Sudden
death penalties. There's quite a lot. When you think of comparisons between like hardcore bands and terms used in football, there's quite a lot. So I'm hoping a lot of it will write itself.
Heavy tackle.
And then, yeah, see?
It's another one.
It all works.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the Facebook page now. I'm looking at your squad members. And I can't not. Wayne Tooney. Yeah. Slam Allardyce is probably my favourite one. That and just number 16, Semen.
Yeah.
So S-E-M-E-N.
Yeah. I think at that point I was just, nah, fuck it. It doesn't even ever have any relevance to football.
14 or, is just or metal. Shred balls.
Shred balls, yeah. The manager's John Moshak as well.
Yeah, so. I saw that. That's fantastic.
So yeah, anyone listening wants to get their dose of footcore, go and check it out. Like I say, it's probably not going to be any kind of like full-time project thing, but I think I'll just release a song every now and again and get a few friends involved, make it a bit of fun.
Amazing. Rennie, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you as well. Let's not keep it so long this time. My pleasure. And for any of your projects, for your other projects, where can people find those as well?
Best way to find out about all that is on my socials. I do all three of the socials: Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And it's just Rennie Carroll, RennyCarroll.
Amazing stuff, mate. Thank you.
Nice one. Thank you, mate.